Amen. Thank y'all. I appreciate that. You know, when you think of this, I thought while they were singing, just that last, if they just kept repeating that last line, thanks for loving me. Sometimes I think we forget how hard we are to love. I don't think you heard that just right. I think sometimes we forget how hard we are to love. We don't want to think that because we want to always think we're easier to love. And so we think, well, you know, so what? God loved me. Yeah, but you realize that we all deserve condemnation. That there's nothing we've done to earn the love of God. Nothing you can do to earn the love of God. And so, the fact that they sang that song, thanks for loving me, we just need to be reminded, I need just to be reminded that it sure took a lot for him to love me. And I'm thankful he still offers that today. He doesn't run out. He doesn't run out. Well, again, thank you for being here. Appreciate the good service so far. God has surely met with us. And I know he does all things well. I know his timing is right, even though I don't understand it. And so I want you to turn to Luke chapter 16 this morning. Luke chapter 16. You can remain seated. One of the things that I remember as a kid, even a young adult growing up, is there was a lot of, Brother Gary, there was a lot of preaching on heaven and a lot of preaching on hell. And we don't hear much of anything like that anymore. We don't hear how sweet heaven is, and we don't want to even comprehend how awful the place of hell would be. So we stay in this little gray area of Christianity where it's let's make people feel good and build up their self-esteem and just make them just, hey, you can just get through the day and realize that it's going to be okay. We don't talk much about soul winning. We don't talk much about winning people to Christ. And so the Lord just placed on my heart several months ago, even me. Brother Shane, I don't know when the last time I preached on hell was. I don't know when the last time I preached on heaven was. And I don't preach this morning on the terror of hell to make a name or shock you. And probably, honestly, in here, most of the people sitting in this congregation, by your own testimony, you'd say that you were saved and I don't have to worry about that. Maybe not. But if it's as awful as we say it is, if it is a place of torment, it's a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not, then why are we so flippant about people going there? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I'm not trying to scare you, although maybe that's what should take place. But I want to be honest with you. I think you need to know, no matter what religion says, no matter what our emotions say, no matter what society says, there is a place of torment, a place of condemnation, a place of judgment. It wasn't created for man. However, because of mankind's rebellion, God's justice, and the fact that God is righteous, holy, and just, everybody's not going to heaven. Amen. Brother Johnny, that's not popular. That's not what we want to hear. We want this idea of everybody's going to heaven. Well, my question would be this. If everybody's going to heaven, why not just do away with what we're living through now and just make this place heaven? I mean, if there's no requirement to get there, why have a place other than where we are called heaven? And so in Luke chapter 16, the Lord deals with that. We'll begin in verse 19. And again, understand this before we get into the message. And some would say this. Some will say, well, this is just a parable. This is not literal. But one of the things you have to understand is a couple things. When Jesus spoke in parables, he did not use names. Right? He wasn't as specific. And it seems that according to all that I've read and studied, that this is an account that took place. That in this scripture, we're not looking at a story. We're looking at something that took place. And God is, through divine revelation, sharing that with us. You say, hey, well, I don't believe that preacher. Why would he share that a man went to a place called hell? Well, he shared with us Paul saw heaven. And so here in Luke chapter 16, verse 19, the Bible said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now that sounds pretty good, I think, don't you? I mean, in our flesh, here's a certain rich man. He ate well. He fared sumptuously. He had pretty much everything anybody could have. That's what the world says success is today, even among Christianity, right? We look at it and we've had plenty to eat, and we just sang about, I am blessed. I've got shoes on my feet, plenty to eat. Well, this guy had an abundance of that. He was hurting for nothing. Verse 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. So in this scripture in verse 20 through 21, we have a contrast. Here's a man that had everything in this life, and here's what typically happens. People that have everything in this life don't think they need God. They don't see the necessity of, I've earned all this money, I've got power, I've got prestige, and so what? I'm going to live for this life. I'm going to get everything I can out of this life. But here's the contrast. Here's a man that had everything but lost it all in the end. And here's a man named Lazarus who had nothing but gained it all. Right. And it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angel in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, but and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So I guess the question that you and I have this morning, or that the world has, is hell a real place? Now we'd like to think, I mean, in our mind, be nice to say no, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be nice to not think of people in hell. Now, our flesh, we look at people and we'd say, well, Hitler, he deserves to be there. Mussolini deserves to be there. Saddam Hussein deserves to be there. Jeffrey Dahmer deserves to be there, right? All these people that have committed these atrocious, horrendous sin, that's exactly where they should be. But see, the thing is, in our mind, we're looking at things and saying, well, the worst of the worst should be there. That is our judgment. Well, let me ask you this. What about the kid that's been in church their whole life, heard message after message after message on the grace of God, dies, has rejected Christ their whole life? Do they deserve heaven? You say, well, preacher, the fact is that's not as bad as all the atrocities that Hitler committed. I agree with that. See, you got to look at what the standard is to get in to heaven. It's not a, here's all the stuff you did right, here's all the stuff you did wrong, and if the good outweighs the bad, we'll let you pass. If that were the case, there'd be no Calvary. We just sang about the blood. There'd be no blood. Then wouldn't it be needed if God would say, doesn't matter what you do. See, the thing that keeps people out of heaven and sends them to hell is not rape, incest, murder, adultery, robbery. It's none of that. It's rejecting Christ. God's not going to ask you what all you've done to get into heaven. It's just going to be this question, what have you done with my son? Have you accepted him? Have you rejected him? Well, I believe in him, right? I'm a good person. I go to church. That's not what he's asking. See, if all that there was for you to go to heaven was the fact that your good outweighs your bad, no need for Calvary. Next question, how could a loving God send somebody to hell? Answer, he didn't. We love John chapter 3, right? We love John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You like that? I do. There's the love of God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what he said, verse 17, right? Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to send people to hell. He came to provide a way out of hell. Let's read on. He that believeth on him is not condemned. There's the standard. Watch this. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this, in verse 19, is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So here's what he's saying. I'm not sending you to hell. I'm providing a way for you not to go. That whether or not you accept it or reject it is your free choice, right? But he didn't come to send anybody to hell. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. So we have to get out of this thinking of, they did this awful stuff, they deserve it. They didn't do this awful stuff, they don't deserve it. No, the fact is, here's the standard. Jesus came, died on the cross, what have you done with it? Right? Well, if you do the right thing and accept him as your Savior, guess what? Heaven awaits you. If you reject him and say, no, 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 I'll get there by my good works, I'll get there by my baptism, I'll get there because I've taken communion, I'll get there because I've gone through confirmation, none of that matters, friend. What have you done with Jesus? If you're depending on any of the other stuff, heaven's not going to be your home. And so many questions surround the subject of hell, and I don't think we can fully understand how awful things are. Hollywood and all that they've done cannot conjure up how bad this place is going to be. Maybe it's so overwhelming and so awful that God knows we couldn't handle how terrible it really is. In Luke 16, Jesus gives us possibly the most descriptive picture of what hell is really like. He describes the terror of hell. And I don't preach this morning to get on YouTube. I don't preach it this morning for you to walk out and say, great job, preacher. Honestly, Brother Kenneth, it bothers me. It bothers me. But I'll share with you four things this morning. Number one is the place of hell. How do you know it's real? Well, the scripture proclaims it. 31 times in the Old Testament, 22 times in the New Testament, Jesus in this scripture proclaims it. It's 100% true. Amen. You say, I don't believe that. How do you know it's true? You've never seen it. You've never laid your eyes on it. I've never been to Russia, but I believe it's there. I've never been to Brazil, but somebody's been there. I've never been to the moon. Anybody been to the moon? You believe it's there? There's a place called Jupiter, Mars. You never been there? How do you know any of it's true? The Milky Way galaxy's there, but you've never been there. What I'm saying is there's evidence in the Word of God. There is testimony from the Word of God that hell is true and it's real, and you don't have to believe in it. The world doesn't have to believe in it, but if God's Word has already settled it, it's settled forever, and He says there's a place called hell. The Scripture proclaims it. The Savior proclaims it, mentioned 12 times in Matthew by Jesus, and here He describes it again. The compassion of Christ warns us of this awful place. You say, but preacher, how can you preach something so awful and talk about the love of God? Well, let me ask you this. If I stood at the edge of a cliff and told you don't go any farther, right, you'll die. Yes, sir. Is that me loving you or is that me hating you? If I'm warning you not to take that last step because the bottom of this cliff is thousands of feet deep, and you'll definitely die, and you'll die without whether you believe it's real or not. Is that love or is that hate? Right. Now, if I let you just go on and jump and say, listen, don't worry about it. It's all good. Listen, now, you can probably fly. Right? And at the bottom of this cliff, don't worry about it. It's just this big fluffy mat that's going to catch you. Nothing's going to happen. Is that love or hate? See, I'm not here preaching to you out of hate. I'm telling you that there is a real place called hell. Now, I don't want you to go there. God doesn't want you to go there. The devil wants. I mean, if we're going to ignore it, who would cause us to ignore it? Not God. The warning signs are there. Listen, you can go down some roads in the mountains, right? And there's signs. Curve ahead. Slow down, right? Well, if they didn't put that sign there, if they didn't put the guardrails there, they don't put the guardrails and the sign there to be hateful to you and tell you, listen, you don't know what you're doing. You can't drive. They're saying, listen, there's been people that go over the cliff here. Need to slow down. Listen, I'm not telling you this morning this because I'm mad at you or because I want to see anybody go there. Brother Jimmy, it's the opposite. And Jesus doesn't tell us about it, the Savior proclaiming it in the New Testament, because He's mad at us and hates us. He's telling us because He loves us. Amen. So number one, the place of hell. Number two is the path to hell. Notice in this scripture, the Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at gates at his gate full of sores. People from every walk of life. Before I started pastoring with Chris, I was a businessman. And I dealt with, sold insurance. I had some people that had nothing. I had some people that had a lot of money. I remember one guy, just to be honest, he was a jerk. He had a bunch of money. His parents, his dad was one of the people that founded Unify. He had houses all over the place. And he walked in the office every time, like everybody in the place owed him something. And so I was new, and the secretary there, she She said, "Would you mind talking with him?" I said, "Sure." And he came in my office and he started in on the, "You don't know who I am. You don't know this. You don't know all I've done. You don't know how much premium I pay." And I was not near, Brother Jeff, as diplomatic as I am today. I still had a little bit of cool me redneck in me. And I said, "Sir, I really don't care who you are. I'm going to help you, but I'm not going to treat you better because you got all this money." And the guy that paid $150 a year for a rental policy, I tried to treat them the same as spent $20,000 a year because they had all these business policies. Didn't matter, right? I knew how to talk to the guy that didn't have a lot, and I learned how to talk to the guy that had a whole lot. The difference was, the guy that didn't have a whole lot, you could sit down and say, "Now here's where this is what this." The guy that had a whole lot didn't have time to sit down and discuss things with you. He was too busy. Well, that's the same thing here. The guy that had everything didn't think he needed anybody. The guy that didn't have anything, what did he have to lose? But the fact that he was poor didn't make him go to heaven, and the fact that the guy was rich didn't send him to hell. Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money is the root of all evil, correct? So we got to get off this mindset of rich people go to hell and poor people go to heaven, and it's not that at all. It has nothing to do with it. We have to realize that people from every walk of life are in hell, and people from every walk of life are in heaven. See, we have to realize the blind are in hell. Now, I don't necessarily mean physically blind, but spiritually blind. There's people that do not think they need a Savior, right? They think that their religion, talk to them all the time. They go to church, been in church my whole life, whatever it is. They're spiritually blind to the fact that the Lord died on the cross of Calvary and they're a sinner. All of mankind is a sinner. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, you're in your sins and you're heading towards hell. You're as good as there. And if you're here today and you've received Christ, if you're going to heaven, you know why? It's not because of how much money you got or how much you don't have. It's because the Holy Ghost of God convicted your heart one day and you said, "Yes, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you to be my Savior." That's the difference. So the blind, the busy, listen, how many of us one day, "Almost thou persuadest me at a more convenient time." We don't want to get saved, Brother Russell. Why? Because I got too much to do. I don't want to live for God right now. One day I will. But may I say, one day it's going to run out. The busy, the brainy, intellectuals. Well, listen, I've talked to many of them, Brother Jimmy, and they'll reason it out. Well, now, you know, what about evolution? What about it? Well, science says evolution, listen to me, is still a theory. If it were true, it would be a law. Theory of evolution. We've evolved. No, sir, we have devolved. We're going in the wrong direction. Man was created perfect in the image of God. That is good as it's ever been for us. And because of sin, we're getting worse. Yes, right. Correct? But if you sit down and try to talk to many intellectuals about it, they cannot grasp the fact that there is a literal God in heaven that spoke it all into existence. Yes. And he still has the power to save sinners. And it doesn't make sense, preacher. I can't grasp. You're here today, you're an intellectual. You say, I believe in science, and I've heard about believe in science garbage for the last few years. I've heard it. I believe in science, Brother Gary, and things evolving. Let me help you. So your theory is there was a ginormous explosion one day, and it threw everything out to where it's supposed to be. Okay. And you think we're ignorant for believing in a creator that spoke it into existence. You think we're simple-minded? Here's my question. Where'd the stuff come from that exploded? Well, it was just there. So you can't believe in a God that was just there, but you can believe in matter that was just there. You can't believe in a God that says He always has been and always will be, but you can believe in some matter that was just up in the universe somewhere floating, but you can't tell me where it came from. That makes more sense to you? You're blind and brainy. But Danny, I'd rather believe that there's somebody somewhere that has a plan than to believe that all of this just happened. Some primordial ooze took place, and out of that primordial ooze, we grew some legs and grew a tail, and somebody might have, but I didn't. But also, do you realize the baptized? There's going to be some baptized people in hell. Can I be honest with you? There's going to be some Baptist folks in hell. There's going to be some Baptist preachers in hell. There's going to be some Baptist deacons. There's going to be some Methodists. There's going to be some Presbyterians. You say, how can you say that, preacher? Because being a Baptist doesn't save you. Being a Methodist doesn't save you. Getting dunked doesn't save you. Hallelujah. It is placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the path to hell is this. It's not about what you have done and not done. Well, if I drink liquor, am I going to go to hell? You're not going to go to hell because you drink liquor or because you smoke dope or because you have illicit relationships. None of that sends you to hell. What sends you to hell is saying no to the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, so you say, well, what you're saying is, I'll tell you exactly what I'm saying. You need to quit looking at yourself as a not-so-bad sinner. And this guy's an awful sinner. You need to start looking at yourself as just a sinner. And him is just a sinner. And it took the same grace and the same blood to save you as it's going to take to save him. See, it's not about your merit and what you've done. You're telling me that if Hitler would have asked Jesus Christ to save him? Absolutely. How can you say that? Because a stinking serial killer wrote most of the New Testament. A murderer wrote most of the New Testament. You say, well, how can you believe that it's true? Because I don't believe about the writer. I believe in the author. Amen. See, I understand that the one who wrote it, who penned it down, was a sinful man. But the one who spoke it is God. See, what you gotta realize is, God's justice system is not your justice system. We want all the people we think that are not guilty enough to have clemency and throw themselves on the mercy of the court and the judge say, you know what? No, I'll give you an example. You take two people. General rule, okay? Their kid gets drunk. Drives, has an accident, kills somebody. Their kid does it. When they go before the judge, you know what they want? Mercy. Right. Somebody else's kid does the same thing. You know what they want? Justice. Right. Right. He's a murderer. He's just a good boy that got put in a bad situation. Right. Yeah. Both did the same thing. Right. Right. I've used this before. The fact is, what we got to quit looking at ourselves as good people and realize there's none righteous, no, not one. Amen. Not one of us deserve heaven. We all deserve hell. Amen. The path is the same. It's wide. There's a lot of things people look at that should send people to that place, but the fact is there's one thing. Rejection. Number three, the Bible deals here with the pains of hell. Did you notice here? The Bible said it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural. wasn't one thing, it was many. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Always found that interesting. Because how many of you have ever been really thirsty? I mean, and to me, if you took the end of your finger and I was thirsty, I mean really thirsty, and you took the tip of your finger and held it over me, and I got one drop, it'd almost be an insult. Because I'd need, I mean, you go outside and work in the heat, somebody gives you a jug of water, man, you'll drink the whole thing, won't you? This man was so tormented, he said, if you just give me a drop, it would be some kind of relief. I've never been that thirsty. I've never been that tormented where one drop would be satisfying enough. And so here's a man, the Bible says he's in torments, plural, and he's tormented in this flame. And goes on to say, he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Here's a guy that had everything. He didn't have mercy on anybody. Yet now he's begging for mercy because all that he had was not sustainable and was not did not help him when he needed it most. He said, Abraham said, Son, remember thou hast in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, thou art tormented. I mean, really, even with this scripture, it's hard to understand what that looks like, isn't it? But here's some things we know, that they're suffering. I mean, we don't really hear the word torment much anymore, do we? Tormented in this flame. If he's got tormented in that flame, there's others that are tormented in the flame. So there's got to be, no doubt, those crying out just like this rich man. So you have millions of people crying out, tormented. You ever been around a place that had people that were in a lot of pain, a lot of agony? It's awful. If you've ever been to a hospital ward where there's that agony and they're crying out, it's awful. Eerie. Now think about millions being tormented, crying out. And the darkness that's there, not only would be bad for a while, but they're tormented for eternity. I mean, one day of torments be awful, but there's an end to it. 10 years would be horrendous, but there's an end to it. 1,000,000 years would be unbearable, but at least you would know at the end of 1,000,000 years that the torments would stop. Right. Brother Shane, this never stops. You think that your little life of 70 years or 50 years saying no to Jesus because you'll miss out on all the fun? Think that little bit right there? A little bit of pleasure.
Right. Amen.
Is that going to be worth eternity of suffering? I don't think you ought to preach this, preacher.
Well,
there's that suffering. There's the separation. Verse 25, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. Now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Separation. You that are here today, and you know what's sad? Brother Danny, there are people that are sitting here today. There are some people not sitting here today. And your parents, your grandparents, you'd say, my granddaddy, boy, he was the greatest Christian I ever knew. My dad, boy, he loved God. My grandma, she lived for God. Greatest Christian I ever knew. Well, let me ask you this, where are they at? Well, they're in heaven. Praise God. Why are they in heaven? Wasn't because they're the greatest Christian you ever knew. They're the greatest Christian you ever knew because they understood the grace of God. They understand the love of God. But here's what I want to ask you. Listen to me. On the course you're on right now, if you loved them so much and they loved God so much and they meant so much to you and they had such an impact in your life, you do realize if you die without Christ, you'll never see him again. That's it. You do realize, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, that grandkid, that son, that daughter, that you have convinced yourself because they made a little profession of faith when they were 7 years old, but they've never really lived for God. There's never really been a change in their life. There's never been evidence, fruit of salvation in their life. And you just keep telling yourself, well, they're just backslid. You do realize that if they're 100% not saved, you'll never see them again. That's what I'm saying, Christian friend. It's not just about lost people. It's time for us to get serious about it. If we believe that Jesus is coming back, if we believe that God is not a respecter of persons, that all of us, that life is a vapor, if we really believe that, listen, we got to quit having our church services and just saying, boy, it's been good to be in the house of God, and realize there's a lost world, family, friends that you'll never see again if they slide off into eternity if they're not saved. There's separation. I believe that there's going to be separation from your family and friends and from the Lord that wanted to save you, but then there's that sin. I mean, if you believe that Hitler and Dahmer and you name all these bad people are going to be in hell, why would you want to go there? I mean, listen, I've preached in, several prison revivals. Man, I tell you what, there's something eerie. You walk in that prison, and I remember the first one I went to, I thought, boy, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to preach the house down. And I had that Baptist arrogance of you let that gate close behind you. Right. Hey now. That told me real quick, if something goes down in here, I ain't getting out that gate. Right? You're talking about some humbling experiences when that baby locks behind you, all of a sudden it's like, okay, God, it's me and you now. Right? We're on the same team, right? I wouldn't want to spend a night in there. Now, you'd be all brave and bad if you want to. But with that place we was at, there's some bad dudes in there. Yes, sir. And they didn't act like they wanted me to be there. They didn't act like they cared about Jesus. I'll tell you how bad it was. Ready for this? This one guy. I was talking to him, real nice guy. He had this little matchbox. I said, what you got in there? He said, a spider. What do you need a spider for in that box? He said, we fight spiders. I said, what do you mean fight them? He said, you know how I like to do cockfighting, dogfights? I said, yeah. He said, we can't get them in here, but we can get spiders. They just want to see stuff fight. Right. Now, I don't know about you, bless God, where I come from, that's rough. When you got the place, you just want to see some violence, so you find some spiders and say, look, I don't know how you make them fight, but it was a real thing. Brother Danny, I don't want to spend a night in here. I don't want to be in here, you know? Because there's some bad stuff going on in there. There's some people I just do not want to spend time with. Now, I want to help them get on the right track, but I'm just saying, listen, I sure don't want to die and go to hell. I mean, I don't want to spend eternity in that sin and that filth, right? Amen. Do you?
Amen.
See, every imaginable sinner that you can imagine that has not accepted Christ is going to be there.
Right.
Every imaginable sin that you think about is going to be there. then I think there'll be sadness. What do you mean by that? Well, according to here, look, Bible said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. Right. Well, he remembered his father, didn't he? Yes. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place torment. He remembered his brothers. So he had memory. Yes. Yes. I believe every person in hell is going to remember every opportunity, every service just like this that you've heard and said no to Christ, every time you've heard preaching on the cross, every person that's ever come up to you, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, neighbor, somebody from the church, said, hey, listen, I just want to share with you the gospel, and you said no. Every time the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, I mean, you got all eternity. Then quickly, I'll give you this, give you these points, and we'll close. He said, I pray thee therefore. Won't you see the prayers in hell? Won't do any good at this time. Won't, too late. But he prayed for mercy, right? He said, if you'll send it, Lazarus to take the tip of his finger. Have mercy. Relief. There's some way to get out. Then he's praying for others. I don't want my family. If you know, you hear people say, well, yeah, I'm going to hell. I believe so-and-so. Listen, when I get to hell, I'll see you there. See, we made mockery of it. Here's a man that had everything, then he had nothing. Finally loved his family enough to say, listen, if you'll just send somebody to him and tell him how awful this place is, I don't want him to come here.
That's right.
I mean, it's a place you wouldn't want your family to
That's
go to.
Right.
Right? Pretty awful place. But I'm gonna give you some good news. Don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. Jesus died for you. And he wants you to, this morning, just think about this. Realize you're a sinner and you deserve that place. But the grace of God, the mercy of God, for by grace are you saved. God's unmerited favor. He didn't want you to go. Why would God send somebody there? He did everything he could to keep us out. But you've got to make the choice.
Amen.
It's your choice this morning. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Miss Susan's going to come to the piano. You mind the Lord. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Here's what I want you to do. Nobody's looking around. I promise you, I'm not going to come to you. I want to pray for you. If you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven when you die, I want you to slip your hand up. You just put it up, put it right back down. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there one? Just one. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Is there another? I'm just not sure. If I die today, I'm not sure something you said in the message stirred my heart. And I just ask you to pray for me, preacher. Slip your hand up. Father, I thank you for the precious soul that raised their hand this morning. You know the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place today. You make no mistakes. Take the invitation time, use it. If there's others that do not know for sure where they'll spend eternity, let them step out so we can show them from the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you name the name of Christ, you say, I'm a Christian. Who did God put on your heart in that message? Somebody you know, family, friend, somebody you work with. God put them on your heart and said, you know what? You need to reach them. If you raised your hand or you didn't, will you come? You come. We just want to show you from the Bible how you can know. God laid somebody on your heart, why don't you come to the altar and pray for them and say, God, open the door for me to witness to them. Let me be the one to share the gospel. Not the preacher, not Brother Jimmy. Give me the boldness to say something to them. Come on, mind God. Whatever God lays on your heart, you come on. You're not sure where you'd spend eternity? Why don't you come so we can show you? From God's word, not our way, not some Baptist way, just the Bible way. Here's how you can know. You're on your way to heaven. Isn't it good to know God loves us? Do not pass me by. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for the message. I thank you for the response. Continue to burden our hearts about our lost family and friends, our neighbors, people we work with. You still want to save souls. Thank you for every guest here today, every person that has come out. And Lord, I know you make no mistakes. And so take the message, use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it.